can't believe the having is so close. Oh my gosh.
The toxicity doesn't bother me.
Married to Bitcoin, you will end up going on a trip like this.
If you're going to do this, you're probably going to do it alone.
You need to figure it out. And I think the only way to figure it out is to listen to our podcast.
You know, like everyone has legs there. That's the crazy part. This is your having episode.
It's Mandana.
And Ian.
Welcome to Flirting with Bitcoin.
Season 3.
That's right. 3 years ago, I tricked Ian into a weekly date night.
I let you trick me so I could teach you about Bitcoin.
Well, it worked. I'm very excited for the halving.
You should be. Bitcoin's about to do what Bitcoin's about to do.
Ooh, okay then. Kian, can we start the show?
Okay. Let's go.
Hey, Ian.
Hey, Mandana.
We have a special treat for our listeners today.
Ooh.
One of our most popular episode series, the Married to Bitcoin series, is getting a part 5 today. We went to the halving party in El Salvador, and what a better way to recap the experience than from the perspective of a Bitcoiner's wife.
Oh, so this is going to be an episode where you talk a lot.
Yeah, I'm ready. I have a lot to say.
I'm excited.
All right, before we do that, let's say hello to everyone. Hola, Spain.
Namaskara, Nepal.
Guten Tag, Germany.
Hola, Brazil.
Sawadee, Thailand.
Good day, UK.
Good day, Canada.
Hola, Argentina.
Buongiorno, Italy.
Namaste, Bharat.
Kamusta, Philippines.
Bonjour, France.
Hola, Portugal.
Hello, Indonesia.
Hello, Netherlands.
Konnichiwa, Japan.
Batam, Poland.
Zadrivet, Bulgaria.
Hola, Venezuela.
Good day, Australia.
Hola, Mexico.
What's up, Nigeria?
And howdy to Texas. What time is it, babe?
The current time is 839-252, and we're approximately 2,951 blocks since our last recording.
And how many blocks till the halving?
Well, we are sub 1,000 blocks.
It's coming.
Approximately 748 blocks to go.
Ooh, my heart's kind of racing.
Which puts us on 420.
And probably when this airs, the halving will have happened.
I would like to drop this on 420.
This episode?
Yeah.
Oh,
this
okay.
Is your experience at the halving. Like, this is your halving episode.
Oh, so we're cutting the line.
Don't worry about the line.
I'm a continuity person. It drives me crazy when people in movies and TV series mess up continuity.
We won't be messing up continuity. This is your halving episode.
Oh.
And then the other one will drop on the regular scheduled time.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I like that idea. Okay.
It's what we're doing. I'm glad you like it.
Babe, if I gave you one crumpled up dollar bill, how many acres could I get on sunny Bitcoin Island?
Today, you could get 1,529 acres, aka Satoshis, on sunny Bitcoin Island.
Now, let's talk about the Satoshi price index. Let's talk about what it means in terms of Bitcoin. The cost of things like eggs, beef, gas, cheese, and other things.
Why are you talking like this? What happened?
It's an advertisement.
What note did I give you that you started talking like that?
The Satoshi price index. When something has a name, I like want to give it some grandeur.
Okay, okay. That's
eggs,
fair.
Eggs, beef, gas, cheese. It's the Satoshi price index.
That's fair. I get it.
Yeah.
Can we just agree that you did kind of switch up between the opening to that?
I did.
Okay.
Because it's all. The Satoshi price index. You came up with this and
I did, but I wasn't. Look,
just ride the wave, baby.
I wasn't picturing Bob
match
Barker.
Match my energy. That's it. Just ride the wave, baby.
Okay. So. The Satoshi price index is up 8.25% since our last recording, because when you're listening to this in the future, this is the day that it crashed down to like 62. So we bounced back up to 64, but if you're living on Bitcoin Standard, things got a little bit more expensive for you.
Uh-oh.
A little bit more expensive.
Uh-oh.
But as we all know, at the end of the day, we are trending towards zero against everything.
Yeah, just generally, yeah, over time, of course. Does it sting a little? You seem a little. The energy's not popping.
I'm up.
You're good. Yeah.
I'm up.
You're not worried.
I'm just up less. Okay.
All right. So break it down.
These stats are brought to you by PricedInBitcoin21.com. They are commodity prices, so don't expect to go in the grocery store and get eggs for $1 a dozen or $2 a dozen. These are commodity prices. So eggs are 4,800 satoshis. Kilogram of beef is 5,200 satoshis. Gallon of gas is 3,600 satoshis. Pound of cheese is 2,500 satoshis. And I added corn to this because we call Bitcoin corn. So
do we?
We do.
Okay.
I think he just added that to the site. So I saw it and I added it. And corn, I don't know exactly what that is. I believe it's a pound of corn for 6,500 satoshis. And the one that you love.
Gold.
An ounce of gold is 2.8 million satoshis. Mm. So if you were planning on buying some gold, it just got a little bit more expensive for you. Sorry. Dang.
Okay, I'll wait. I'll wait till next week.
You got it. Exactly. Exactly.
And what if I wanted to buy a house in America?
This is funny because I actually was using this exact data point with one of your friends at the party earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But today, the median price of a new house priced in Bitcoin is basically 6.2 Bitcoin, which for Bitcoin terms, that's basically one block. So if you were to mine a block, you'd get six.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay.
So right now, a house costs about the amount of electricity it took to produce it.
Interesting.
Right? So like, but when the halving hits, it's the same amount of electricity, but you get fewer Bitcoin. That's where you get that pricing pressure.
My goodness. Right? I can't believe the halving is so close.
So close.
Oh my gosh.
But, you know, using this number, and I was using saying to your friend at the party, 5 years ago, it was like 20 Bitcoin or 50, whatever it was. So imagine if you had all your money in Bitcoin 6 years ago, and now houses have gotten five times cheaper for you.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to make something click with somebody. And I saw the light go off in her head like, but wait, why are they getting cheaper? It's like, well, if you only priced everything in Bitcoin, the world looks like it's getting cheaper to you. And she was like, is that real?
Yeah.
I was like, that's how I see things.
It's literally why I was like, we should have a podcast that explains Bitcoin to people. Because if they knew about the halving, I'm pretty sure they would get it. But even like, yes, yeah, so we went to a party today. And even one of my friends who said, because of you and Ian, I bought Bitcoin. He didn't remember or know what the halving was. And I explained it to him. And he was like, oh, what? And I was like, yeah, like if you have money in savings, push it over to Bitcoin. You should do all of it, but do as much as you can.
Whatever you feel comfortable
yeah,
with.
Yeah, but it was so interesting to me that I'm like, oh, and I literally, I was like, you need to listen to our podcast. I don't know how else to explain this to you. You need to listen to our podcast.
Tell me how you not listen to my podcast.
Because he literally was
me.
Like so desperate for the information I was giving him. And I wanted to be like, I wanted to shake him. But I, you know, we try to be gentle with everyone. But I'm like, we're not like talking about pop music on our podcast. Like every single week, we're just talking about Bitcoin and trying to understand what we're doing with our money here.
Yeah,
and the and the desperation in the conversations that I had today around Bitcoin, I was like, just listen to our podcast. It's not that long. You like us. You want to talk to us at this busy party. Like, just listen to our podcast.
There's that.
Yeah.
But I do think that, like, the word podcast in general triggers, like...
Yeah, a ton of stuff, yeah.
You know, there's a emotional reaction to that word, and so I get it.
It's a dirty word.
I get it, but, you know, before we, you know, get into the show, just kind of, like, tying all that together, podcasts were, in a way, pre-Noster.
Okay.
Right. So like the whole idea of Noster is like free speech, right? Okay. Before podcasts, the information was centralized. Even when you get to television, like the information has always been centralized until basically podcasts. The internet, yes, but then podcasts basically created their own news distribution networks, right? And I guess podcasts and YouTube were happening at the same time, but like.
But there weren't like two talk radio stations, and that could be all you could listen to if you wanted to just hear people talk about things.
Well, yes. Even when YouTube and podcasts are like going side by side, your podcast episodes can be like dropped if you do like video podcasts, right? You talk about the wrong thing, YouTube won't show it. Right. That's what happened during COVID. Podcasts, like we could talk about whatever we want.
Come at us.
Yeah. Like, you know, so. I think that podcasts having this negative connotation is because it's kind of where all of the crazy people were. And so because now that everyone has a podcast, it's like even more commoditized. So I understand like when your friends are just like, they're not listening. They think a certain thing when they think, when they hear the word podcast. It's like, I don't know how else to give you the information. It's a show. You know,
like, I know. Yeah, it's like we try to have fun.
I have a weekly
it.
Fireside chat. Maybe we should call it a fireside chat.
Yeah,
and then they'll
brown bag session.
Brown, right? Like, like whatever you gotta call it. We have a weekly Zoom meeting call. Whatever gets you to show up on time.
Yeah.
But no, it is like I noticed that like people kind of are just turned off by the word.
But I will say today with whoever I talk to, I mean, I'm very like, you need to do this. You need to do this. You're either gonna do it or you're gonna wait to do it. But like, I can't tell you casually do what you want. Like, I'm going to give you the advice that I think is right. Like, this is going to be a short conversation. It's like, you need to figure it out. And I think the only way to figure it out is to listen to our podcast, because I can't imagine you going and doing any of this work yourself.
That is the point that I was making to your friend.
Yeah.
You're a smart person. I know you're a smart person. Everyone around you says you're a smart person. If you knew everything that I knew, you would make the same decision.
Exactly.
But what I know about you is that you're not going to do the research that I did to have this level of like understanding, because you're the smart one.
Yeah.
So like, you're the one that knows that you should be up on everything. And people come to ask you questions,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of like, she didn't agree, but she kind of was like, oh, yeah, I guess maybe.
Yeah, your ego's in the way.
And I was like, but here's the thing is that like, we've even identified you in like the circle of Bitcoin life. I was like, you're the yuppie elite, center of the article. And I was like, read this.
Good.
This is you.
Yeah.
And then after you've read it, listen to my podcast.
Yeah. You know, and I think this is what we will kind of like transition to talking about today. Maybe it's podcast culture, but I think it's Bitcoin culture. And for better or worse, Bitcoin culture that exists right now is not encouraging other people to join.
I do agree with that. I think the...
And I actually didn't mean to say that. It just came out of my mouth. But like, wow, you really agree with that.
I think that the culture as it exists and the way that the information is presented as it exists has gotten everyone that it's going to get.
Yes, yes.
And so...
Which is like a great group of people.
Right, but like, you know, the term that gets used the most is like the toxicity of it all, right? Mm. The toxicity doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't do it, but I understand it. I grew up with that kind of like culture mm-hmm. way to present information. Yeah. To me, it doesn't bother me. I can just filter that out. Some people... I actually enjoy how they do it. Other people are just not good at it. So there's that. I think that the way the information is presented the majority of the time now has pretty much gotten everyone that it's going to get. And now you need to start trying to get other people with different ways. And so that's why I think that like the show that we do, which is not so much anti that, because I'm technically still doing that, but it's a much softer way of giving the same information. But like you just said, it's going to be a short conversation.
Yeah.
Like you're toxic. You're just like friendly toxic.
These are with people who I've had the conversation with so many times, and actually some of them have Bitcoin, but they're treating it like a stock.
That's not the worst thing, but like, yeah, no, I get it.
It's the piece where it's like, you're so close and I am literally doing this podcast for you. I mean, like we could have this conversation for 8 hours. And I feel like it was a conversation that I was initiating with a lot of people that I met on this trip, because I was like, what's, you know, your experience with the people in your life right now? Yeah, it's just fascinating to me. And like, I was really immersed in Bitcoin culture in a really interesting way at the Halving Party. And I think it's an important perspective to share with people who are married to Bitcoin. I think if you are married to Bitcoin, you will end up going on a trip like this, or there'll be an event or something like that. And like, you know, it's fun. Like, I think it'll be an interesting time for you. And I really believe that your spouse will love that you're there. They'll be so happy that you're there with them. Am I wrong?
No.
Yeah. So, okay, let's get into it. Hey, it's Mandana. We're in season 3, The Halving, and I'm making sure we drop a new episode every week. We are dreaming big for flirting with Bitcoin, and the only thing standing in our way is time and money. Let me be transparent and talk real numbers. Through Value for Value, our listeners directly paid us 100,000 sats in season one. Season two, we made 1 million sats. Of course, now we gotta see if we can 10x again and reach 10 million sats this season. Hashtag relationship goals. If we earn 10 million sats from the work we put into this podcast, it'll be the sign that one of us can do this part-time, maybe even full-time. Send us Bitcoin or shop our merch store. It all helps with the goal. You can also give us an old school shout out on social, listen to us on your favorite podcasting 2.0 app, or make and share clips of the show. Your support in any form is value we appreciate. Go to flirtingwithbitcoin.com/support and let's experience value for value together.
I'm really excited to hear Mandana's rendition of The Trip. But before we get into that, we got a little house cleaning. So first of all,
house cleaning or housekeeping?
I keep saying cleaning. I've got to do better at that. We have some housekeeping.
It's such a weird thing that people say in meetings, because it's like how they trick you into thinking that work is a family. They call like business items on like an agenda housekeeping. This is how they get into your brain.
Sure.
Except like we're husband and wife, so housekeeping makes sense with us, but it's not housekeeping. This is internet stuff.
Podcast keeping?
Podkeeping. I'm going to think of a better name for that.
Sounds great. While you do that, let me run through the housekeeping. So as you've heard, we have a merch store. Check it out, store.flirtingwithbitcoin.com. We just got back from the halving party. Got a lot of great comments about the tanks and Mandana's hat. So check them out. This one guy tried to buy my tank off my back while we were just like out at the pool. We also have a Telegram group. It's t.me/flirtingwithbitcoin. I moved all our stuff onto YouTube finally. So we have a YouTube channel now.
Great job, babe.
Thank you. YouTube.com/we are at flirtingwithbitcoin. We got the whole thing. It was still available. I also put our stuff on Wavelake. So Wavelake is another like value for value platform similar to Fountain, but you have to actually upload the episodes there. So I put them on there. As usual, we're also on Twitter, Flirting with BTC. I'm on Twitter at Onesien. That's Onesien. We're on Instagram at Flirting with Bitcoin. We're on Noster, link in the description. And as always, we have the newsletter, which is www.flirtingwithbitcoin.com.
We're also on TikTok, guys. I'm trying, but we'll talk more about that later.
All right.
So we went to El Salvador. We had a direct flight. We had BitDriver pick us up. We went to a resort, and we stayed there for 4 days.
Those are all facts.
And then BitDriver took us back to the airport at 5 a.m.
That is also true.
Like MVP right there. And we took a direct flight back home.
In and out.
That's the trip. I mean, but I'll say, like, just generally, that was great. Like, that whole experience was great. The flight was great. The transportation was good. Seeing the country was really interesting. The resort was great. I will say that, like, generally where I've traveled has been very similar to El Salvador, but obviously, like, much more developed. It felt very comfortable there. It felt like a place that I visited already.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, like, it was a very comfortable country to be in just generally. I felt very safe the entire time. We didn't really go. Oh, we did stop in El Zante. What am I saying? We stopped in El Zante for a second.
Uh-huh.
So we could go to the Bitcoin hardware store. That was so cool. Shout out to Ronnie. Like, coolest guy.
Yeah, right.
Like, just the
cool.
coolest guy. Yeah, it was like just such a pleasure meeting him. Such a cool person. The store was really cool. It was exactly what I pictured. And yeah, we were at a resort that really, interestingly enough, felt very like 50-50 Americans and El Salvadorians. And I'm so stupid thinking that that's what it was normally like, because we stayed one extra day after the halving party ended. And it was like 97% El Salvadorians.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, this is like a place that locals go on vacation. It's not normal to have that many Americans in El Salvador yet, right?
Yes. I think at that particular resort, that was probably a lot of gringos showing up.
Yeah, but it was a nice resort for what it was, but it's not like as nice as I would say the hotels that I go to. Same star level as 4 stars in Mexico, for example. You know, it's definitely like less luxurious, but that was just the place that we stayed, and the party was trying to make a lot of things work, and so I think they picked a really, really great place. Yeah. I think they just did a great job with the planning, like just amazing. I can't even imagine how much work went into that. And they all seemed somehow to still like be enjoying themselves during the weekend. I don't know how, but like, wow, what a feat putting together that whole event. Like it was great. And I didn't feel like any event was like hard to access or go to, you know, like it just felt a very easy party experience. And like, funny enough, it wasn't even that wild. It wasn't wild at all. It was just so lovely.
We did not go to the first night party though.
We didn't. Yeah.
And
yeah,
we didn't go to the last night party.
Yeah. So well, we went home. Yeah.
We went to the first half of the last night party.
Yeah. I said I think, home. I think we went to sleep.
I think you missed the two wild parts.
Did we? Okay, cool, yeah. Cool. All right. Well, good for them. I mean, what am I going to say? We're married. We have a 1-year-old. We were just like happy to be sleeping.
Yeah.
But like still, it didn't seem too crazy. It was a really like respectful, chill, nice crowd of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like that was the really cool part. Like I will say most of the people that I met, men who I met that I like really vibed with, I was like, you're exactly like my husband. I felt like I was talking like different versions of you in the metaverse. I swear.
So these were all different Peter Parkers?
Kind of, yeah. Like I would just be talking to a man and he'd be like, yeah, and this and that. And I don't know, he would just say something. I'd be like, you're exactly like my husband. You need to, I don't know where he is, but like, you're exactly like my husband. I'll find a way to get you guys to meet. So I really liked how familiar that felt, like to meet people that really reminded me of my husband, because actually I don't know a lot of people like you or people who think like you. And sure. So I just really liked that. And a lot of the people that I talked to in general, I would ask them like, if you're married, like what does your wife think about all of this? And it was really interesting. Most of them were like, she has no idea what Bitcoin is. Like, she's cool with it. She's happy. She's like, sees that we have money. If that was the case, right, with the person I was talking with. But they would be like, she doesn't know. She doesn't get it. I said, you know, well, how do you feel about that? And at first they were like a little dismissive of it. But I would be like, yeah, but like, don't you think it would be nicer if she understood it? And if like you guys could talk about it, like, obviously this is something you're so interested in. You flew to another country to come to an event, right, for it. Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't it be cool to do that with her? And I mean, I don't know like exactly how people felt in that moment, but it did seem like they were like, yeah, that would be nice. And, you know, that's ultimately like my pitch to anyone who's in a romantic relationship with a Bitcoiner. It's just so important to them. Like, it's shocking how important it is to them, because probably things are not, no one thing that isn't connected to you or related to you probably matters to you that much. That's not your like actual passion. It's like, it's one thing if it's like, oh, I love singing, I want to be a rock star. That's different from being like, I have a day job, but I love Bitcoin and all I do is think about Bitcoin. It's just very different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. I had similar conversations with people and they were all just like super surprised and or impressed that like you were partaking in it also. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's my side of the conversation. If you weren't into it or if you didn't understand it and you didn't want to go to this stuff or you're like very anti it, I don't know if I wouldn't go. It definitely would be more of a like
side quest.
I think that's what the kids are saying these days.
I don't know. I just made that up.
No, but yeah, it would feel more like a side quest.
Yeah, this was like something Ian and I were pretty excited about. We got our merch together for it so that we could actually like wear things that we wanted to that said Bitcoin on them. And like, yeah, we were excited. And like, I think there was one night we had to wear orange. And so we got an orange outfit for it. Like, it was just fun to do something with Ian that was like all recreational, basically.
Yeah.
Even though obviously like we wanted to be able to talk to people about our podcast, but we tried to be pretty low key about it. Like, what's the point? Everyone you're talking to is already a Bitcoiner.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't like advertising it.
Yeah. But so like we did do podcast stuff, sure, maybe, but it was still like completely a vacation.
Yeah. Like
we had a good time. We relaxed, like we slept. I guess maybe if we were like about business, we should have been out partying. But like, no, I wanted to sleep.
There were obviously people there that were like, I'm so-and-so and I'm from so-and-so. I didn't really interact with those people.
I didn't either. So yeah, maybe.
But there were a few people. And you know, for better or worse, that's like, that is what it is. For me, it was more of a vacation.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I just did a lot of the like pool activities. Yeah. And
pool activities meaning just laying by the pool.
Yeah, pool activities.
You weren't playing like pool volleyball.
No, that's not vacation. That's work. I had a couple of conversations with people. And like I said, I wouldn't be advertising like, hey, I do a podcast. They would just be like, you know, who are you here with? It's like, oh, my wife. And then they're like, oh, your wife came. And I'm like, well, we do a podcast. So, you know, but I would never just like,
yeah,
just open with we do a podcast.
It's like the last thing I would say.
And the one that really got me was that I was getting a drink and you know who he is now, but beforehand you didn't. Preston Prish, who has like a podcast, is pretty famous in the Bitcoin space. He was like behind me in line. And so I turned around and I was like, are you Preston? Like you have legs. So normally I don't, you know, like everyone has legs there. That's the crazy part. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he starts laughing and I was like, well, you know, like, can I introduce you to my wife? Because you are on our TV a lot, you know? So I was like, let her to put the legs to the face. Right. So he's like laughing. We walked over to talk to Mandana. And then when he starts talking to her, Mandana has no idea who he is.
Zero idea who he is.
So like he's just like,
I still don't know who he is.
He's just like so like, oh, thank God I could talk to someone who doesn't know who I am, yes, kind of vibe,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so that was really cool. And I think
that was like the coolest conversation because his wife does not care about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I asked him a million questions about him. About that whole situation and how he feels about it and how it even works. And he had just like some very funny stories that are his stories to tell. I will not repeat. You know, we even asked him like, you know, how he's raising his child and like what he's trying to teach him. And those, I was just so curious. He has a son that's much older than obviously our 1 year old. Like it was just a really great conversation to have. One of the things he said that was so interesting is that he went to his first Bitcoin event 10 years ago. And he said there was not one person in that room that wasn't like on the autism spectrum.
Yeah.
I was asking him like, did you get orange pilled or did you orange pill yourself? He orange pilled himself. Obviously, he was that early. And he was like talking about how that was his first event that he had ever gone to. And I was like, well, this is my first event, you know.
Yeah,
and so just like what a perspective he has just generally on like his Bitcoin journey and where he is versus like someone like me or even you, right? But for his wife to not be interested at all, like what?
He's been in it for 10 years and his wife has not been interested. That's the whole time.
Wild.
The whole time.
And then also like people are coming up to him. They're so excited. And like he has to go to a panel and he doesn't know where he's going. And so we're like, yeah, we'll walk you. And like as we're walking, people are like joining in. And Ian's like, I think you were like, he's a top tier Bitcoiner. And I was like, I don't know what that means.
Well, that's a good example. If you're walking through somewhere and people are stopping you to take pictures
with you, that's definitely a good
but definition.
But I still didn't,
right?
And he didn't really answer when I asked him because it was a very silly question. But I was like, what do you do? Like, I didn't, like, I didn't understand that. Like, what are you teaching people or this and that? But like, he was an incredibly interesting person. And we talked more about like what it means to be a Bitcoiner and then also be kind of public about it. But then how do people in your personal life treat you? And this was like most people that I talked to were like, no, my friends and family, they're not into Bitcoin. They know I do it, but like they don't really get it. Even still, like when I first went to my friends and I talked to them about it, even today, those people still haven't gotten Bitcoin. It was just such a fascinating conversation that I had with him and so many other people to again reinforce like how early we all are and how lovely it was to be at an event where there were like hundreds of Bitcoiners. So at least like you knew who you were talking to, understood this thing that you know so much about that most people know nothing about, right? Yeah, that whole experience was just fascinating to me. He was, I think, one of the first husbands I talked to. Yeah, he was very much big in the Bitcoin space. And then you talk to somebody who's just a fan of Bitcoin, followed it, wanted to come, wife's at home, but he's here. And it's like, yeah, he's having that very similar experience where like none of his friends or family are really getting it. Neither is his wife. Like, what? That's right. It's such a universal experience.
Very universal.
Ugh, and it's a shame.
That's why a lot of the guys there, you know, we'd be talking to them and you'd walk away. They'd be like, good job. Aww. You know, like, and I'm like, look, she That's wanted so to start sweet. The podcast. Like, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to have a weekly homework assignment, but here we are.
Here we are.
I was like, because it's her idea, it goes until she doesn't want to do it anymore. But I just try to bring like the subject matter expertise and kind of walk through the path. Some things will be things I've done already, but other things will be things I haven't even done yet. Like go to a Bitcoin event.
Right. Like yeah. It was a first for you as well.
I mean, technically, I went to the Bitcoin Policy Institute thing last year, but that wasn't a like, there was no party element to that, you know?
Yeah. Also, there's something really fascinating about meeting people who do this often because it's not novel for them. It's very like, yeah, this is what we do. We go around, we throw Bitcoin events, we meet Bitcoiners. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's like wild. Like you've done this so many times, like you know how to do it. And you know how to really enjoy it and probably get the most out of it. Whereas like we were just like, whoa, this is so interesting. Whoa, you like Bitcoin too? How long have you known about Bitcoin?
It's like, I'm here. What do you think?
What does your dad say? Does your dad think you're crazy? Like literally those are the conversations we were having with people.
Well, I think that for you, the thing that was most important is just you get to hear it multiple times that it's like, no, this is really how it is.
Yeah.
Because like your podcast is a theory. That's how it is. Your podcast is probably correct, but to hear it and see it play out in all spectrums from just started yesterday to been in it for 10 years, everyone's basically having the same problem.
Yeah.
You've said it on the series before where you were like, that's lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I hate making this like a religious thing, but that's kind of the Buddhist mantra is like, if you're going to do this, you're probably going to do it alone. It's nice if you find other people, but like to do something like Buddhism, you're probably going to do it alone unless you go to like a Buddhist temple and become a monk.
There's one person I met who's been into Bitcoin for like 10 years. And he told me that nobody in his life is a Bitcoiner. He doesn't know any other Bitcoiners. And he finally was like, I should come to a Bitcoin event.
There you go.
He was just like a really interesting person who was taking it all in and really was not trying to get anything out of it, but was like just trying to finally immerse himself in it. But he hadn't worked in 5 years.
That's the life.
So imagine not working for 5 years and like no one really admitting that, like, I don't even know if he's explained it or told people, but yeah. And
he gets up and goes somewhere every day. They don't ask where he's going.
And he said, and I asked, and I said, well, what did people think about you coming out sovereign? He's like, I didn't want to tell people, but I guess he had told his mom. His mom let it slip. And then people were like, and he was like, ugh, I shouldn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's so interesting. Like, no, nobody in our, I mean, I would say our families weren't worried because they knew it was inevitable. A couple of people before and after have been like, whoa, I didn't know people go there or it's not safe. And it was so interesting to me that certain people also said that, like, yeah, their families were worried about them coming to the halving party.
Similar to Bitcoin, El Salvador is something people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be some confusion. And are you sure? Right. And like, I don't know. He's doing a weird thing. He's buying Bitcoin and going to El Salvador. That sounds crazy. But the other thing that I thought that was really cool was we got to meet a listener.
Yes, we did.
So like, how else are we going to meet a listener unless we go to these events, right?
Yeah, it was so cool. We met him. We met his wife. We met his daughter. It was wonderful. We got to spend a fair amount of time with him. And it was just really cool meeting someone who listens to the show.
Yeah. Like to me, that was the coolest part.
Yes. Like, it was. Yeah.
Talking to Preston was just kind of like, it was so funny how it happened that it'll just be a funny story forever.
It was I mean, it's funnier for you.
Yeah.
I don't really still know who he is.
It doesn't matter. That's the thing, right? That's part of the funny thing.
But I know him as a person. I feel like that counts a little bit
more. But that's why it's funny. Yeah. It's like Amanda still doesn't know who he is, right?
Yeah, whatever.
But like if you had sat down next to Michael Saylor, you would know who he is, right? Like you've seen Michael Saylor. You got the idea, right? Okay. So like it'd be fun. It's not the same, but it's the same. It'd be like, and she still doesn't know who Michael Saylor is,
yes,
right?
Yes. Preston was talking about his wife.
Yeah.
She knows who Michael Saylor is. She's not that. Yeah. But you know what? I was really thinking about this. There are so many women who say like, I don't know what my husband does, but like we have a lot of money.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of that.
Sure.
Energy and vibe. And I have no idea if these men are like workaholics, right? Like, I don't know if he's like working all the time and passionate about his research and doing projects and things like that in Bitcoin. So like, she thinks he's like working to make the money. Do you know what I mean? Versus like, no, they have a lot of money and
he doesn't have to do the work.
Do passive projects. I have no idea.
Like, he doesn't have to do the work. He's just doing it for fun.
Exactly. I'm not in the marriage. I have no idea.
Okay.
But I'm like, that's like part of what's happening in these relationships where people are. And that's what some of the guys would tell me. They were like, she knows we're good on money. Like, I would hear that phrase mm-hmm. here and there, and I'm like, I get it, but like, this is more than money. Like, this is your personality, isn't it?
Well,
in a great way.
It's
like
a
big part of your personality and your lifestyle, all of those things.
It's a lifestyle. That's the biggest takeaway that I got from going to this, was that it's a lifestyle.
That's an interesting way to say it.
Yeah. Like,
describe the lifestyle for the spouses out there.
You know, you said you had like a week to think about it. I had a week to think mm-hmm. about it. It's a lifestyle in the sense that like, there's a lot of different like cultures and subcultures that part of the lifestyle is this, like what I've been colloquially calling the traveling circus. So like surfers do it. Surfers are always going from beach to beach. They talk amongst each other. They talk about what the best waves are. Oh man, have you been to so-and-so? Oh no, I got to get out there. Like da-da-da-da-da-da, right? I observe a lot of that same behavior in Bitcoiners. Like we have all these events that are all over the place. Mm-hmm. Some people always go to some and don't go to others because for geographical reasons, right? So mm-hmm. like if it's in Scandinavia, it's mostly the Scandinavians and them going. But then there's a group of people that are like, oh, I live in Brazil and I'm going to Scandinavia, right? Mm-hmm. And you see that person like all over the place. They're the like, they're some of the loose links that like tie all of these different groups together.
Yeah.
And so when that person like comes...
Yeah, like- Roger 3000 or
9000, but yes.
Oh, sorry, Roger 9000.
Lovely person.
Oh my God, lovely, lovely person. And he's fam. He's half Iranian or half Persian, if I recall correctly. Or no, maybe they're Iraqi. He's half Iraqi.
Yeah.
We're all fam.
Yeah.
And Babes in Bitcoin.
What about?
Babes in Bitcoin, like she helps those parties and events and like she goes to,
Yeah.
Both of them like contribute to the international connection of those events. And, you know, I actually really think their ethos that I've seen kind of on their social media since, you know, going and looking at their stuff after I met them is such a fascinating point and one that like, I don't know if that's what I would be contributing to, but it's like, yeah, the tech business layer of Bitcoin, that culture is established, but there's more facets to Bitcoin as a community, partying and spending time with each other and socializing and getting to know each other and just like building relationships. There's like immense value in that, but someone has to do it. And like the contribution that you bring to that is like also incredibly important.
You mean like just throwing dope parties?
Throwing party, making music about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, and like making it so that people who otherwise have maybe not much in common have come together somewhere and like making it like easy for them to mingle. I think it's so beautiful and valuable, and it's probably the hardest part of all of it because they're not like running a nightclub. They're like, it's literally a traveling circus.
Ooh.
Bitcoin nightclub?
Not Bitcoin nightclub, but like.
Nightclubs I know.
No, but like the nightclub travels.
Yeah, but right. Still, that's not easy.
I didn't say it was easy. I'm just saying, like, that's a product that doesn't exist.
That's
like,
true.
The Bitcoin conference travels.
And then they play your favorite song, We Call Them Poor.
Yeah, right?
We call them poor.
But, like,
people who store their currency.
That is not how it goes.
It's not how it goes. How does it go?
You're close, but.
We call them poor.
It's a great song. But let me finish my thought.
You play it like 8,000 times a day, and I And I don't know the quote.
That's impressive,
that's
actually.
That's being a Bitcoin wife, y'all. Really listening.
That is 100% being a Bitcoin wife. Oh, yeah, this is a great song, babe. Don't know the words. Yep. You play it too much. Don't know the words.
We call them poor.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
That's
all you
need to know. That's your favorite line. You say it all the time.
So, like you're saying about the, like, there's other things that you can contribute to the culture, to the lifestyle or whatever. Mm-hmm. Two things. Number one, Roger 9000, I had like seen his stuff without realizing that I had seen his stuff. The music that he's making, I think that like when I saw his like live performance, my brain just jumped like 20 years in the future. And I was like, well, if this does go the way that we think it's going to go, if it is a peaceful revolution, right? People like, I'm not saying this particularly about Roger 9000, but in general, that's like Bob Marley type mm-hmm. stuff. There are going to be like Bitcoin musicians.
Yeah.
Right. And they're going to make songs about various parts of Bitcoin. And to the rest of the world, it's not going to make sense because they're not part of it. But then 10, 20 years, they'll go back and listen to all the original
stuff.
Wow,
that song sounds so good. And it's like, oh, you know, this was like, people didn't like the song. They didn't get it. They didn't understand what Bitcoin was.
Right. And so like, I just thought that his stuff was really good. And it just got me thinking about that angle as mm-hmm. well. And then for this idea of like the traveling nightclub, the Bitcoin conference that was in Miami and now is going to be in Nashville, I guess this year, it's too big. Like that's like it's just getting too big, right? Mm-hmm. It's just getting too unwieldy. Number one. Number two, there's like, because it's so big, there's all these like satellite events that happen around it. Right. It's like a couple of days that go on in the city. Mm-hmm. And so you could have a product that goes to these different events and it's like the nightclub for the event that's happening. There's so like BTC Prague is about to go on or is going on. Like you could do a nightclub in Prague. You got to organize it. You got to put it together. But like if you travel with the circus, the traveling circus will bring the entire Bitcoin experience. You got your morning jogs.
Let's talk about dating in Bitcoin because I'm really curious. Like, what are single Bitcoiners doing? Because if you're meeting someone who's like not even going to let you talk about Bitcoin, how does dating work? So like you go to a nightclub and it's a Bitcoin event. You know, everyone in there vibes with Bitcoin.
And on top of that, you can only get in if you pay cover with Bitcoin.
I love that. And you can only buy the drinks with Bitcoin.
You can only buy the drinks with Bitcoin. So like,
perfect.
The idea there though would be like, you know, when we went to this event, there was like this morning stuff that people were doing. It's like a jog and like workouts and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I'm not about that life on vacation. That's part of the culture.
Totally.
Right?
You're right.
And yeah. So like you got people that are bringing that part.
Yeah.
But then it seems like it's like almost like the event's job to provide the nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is that you bring that and say, no, your event is done at 7. Let the nightclub
yeah,
take over.
Those are people, the professional
people
partiers.
Who've done it professionally. Like you don't have to figure out that. How to make the night great for everybody. Let us do that.
Right, yeah.
But like you could basically do one a month yeah. all around the world. And you're just traveling with like a pop-up club.
Love it.
But it's only for the Bitcoiners. And you know you're going to have people coming because you know they're there for the event.
Yeah.
The event funnels everyone to the nightclub, right? Or to the... That's the after party. Like, babe, boom, done.
Sell the idea. So how do I make money off of this? We're not actually going to be doing this ourselves.
I'm not saying we're going to do it, but I think that in less than 2 years, this will exist.
Yeah, probably.
Because, back to your original point, this next wave of people are going to have the same experience as going to events that you did, which is, this isn't really for me.
It was not for me.
And then they're going yeah. to start trying to think about how they can make the event better. And eventually someone will come to this idea or will hear this podcast episode and we'll just make it happen.
You know, I think that...
Open source business ideas.
Yeah. I think for free, take it if you... do with it what you will.
I never want to run a nightclub.
Yeah. It's the hardest job. It is the hardest job to host a party. Like host a party, see how hard it is. And then
hosting a party,
do that for strangers. Yeah. And being a father. But I'm not saying the event wasn't for me, meaning I didn't enjoy it. But it was an event that was, like, I think primarily designed by men for men. For example, like, there was a cigar night, you know, where, like, you met out and you smoked a cigar with whiskey. Like, there could have been, like, a margaritas night or a dance lesson night or something. You know, like, there could be something that could get crowd really going and engaged or something like that. Or maybe they did that. I don't know. There was a dancing lesson thing somewhere at that resort.
That wasn't for the Bitcoiners.
But it wasn't for the Bitcoiners. Yeah.
It was for a multi-level marketing company.
What, yes, it was.
Get out there and dance.
Exactly. I'm not saying that they should have done that instead. I'm saying if an event was trying to cater to someone like me, they would have done that. And so there aren't enough Bitcoiners out there for an event to be catered to those type of people. So like, we are still very early, and it's on, I think, the women to figure out that space. It's not on men. I think men put on an event that they know that they will enjoy. They do their best to make it family friendly and include women. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I really want to make it clear that I think they did a phenomenal job. That doesn't mean that there shouldn't hopefully eventually one day be like Bitcoin meetup event vacations where like a lot of the things that are happening would be will be like really exciting, awesome things that I'll be like, oh, it's so cool. And I'm going to meet Bitcoiners that also really enjoy this. And that's maybe how I can make a friend.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. That's just how I mean it. And like that just kept hitting me throughout the weekend. Like it's a very easy thing to say now after the fact, but while the trip was happening, I was really like, I saw a lot of women there. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't feel uneven. It probably was uneven, but it just didn't feel like that. I just felt like I was seeing a lot of women everywhere I was. So I was like, oh, cool. I'm just probably around a lot of like women Bitcoiners, not even necessarily wives. Like that's what it felt like. But still, ultimately, the event felt very masculine in that way. And there was this one woman that just kept saying how much she felt like it's time for like women to find their space in this and that there only are a couple of women. And that conversation just kept happening, right? And I would then be like, oh, I have a podcast. And I would explain the concept of the podcast. And they would be like, that's great. That's great. And then I would be like, yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to do. I'm doing it. Like, please tell people about it who you want them to know about it. But I kept being like, it's just me and Ian and we're doing what we can. And so it was like, it was just a really interesting situation where it was like everyone was like, this is $1 million idea, basically, right? Like not $1 million. Bitcoiners would never say that.
This is a 10 Bitcoin idea.
And then Ian would be like, yeah, but it's kind of like this side thing that we do that we really enjoy, but we have day jobs and like we're just on vacation right now. So yeah, there's this like sense that like I think if we really went on all in on this podcast, we would definitely reach like a ton of more people. You have to make it your like full-time job.
Yeah.
It's not easy. And it's not like I could see how hard the people that were running the event work, right? They have podcasts. They have like YouTube channels, right? Like they work so hard and you can see how committed they are to it and just how professional they are about it. And this is their job. Whereas like we're just, you know, having a good time.
That is true. Like if you push all in and it becomes your job, yeah, you look at it very differently.
Yeah. But with that, it's like our podcast can't be everything to everyone. So just thinking about it as like a perspective of a Bitcoin wife, it just really solidified that there isn't content or anything out there for you. And if your husband really likes something and he sends it to you, it's not going to click for you because it was not made for you. And you don't realize how much things are not made for you unless you're faced with it for like 3 days in a row, which is what I went through, right? Mm-hmm. I went through 3 days of Bitcoin and not, I would say maybe like there were three things I heard where I was like, clap. I didn't go to the sessions though. I'm sure if I went to the sessions, I would feel differently. Like I went to like the major events and like some of the talks and I wasn't hearing anything new. I don't know, like nothing completely spoke to me, which is not to knock what was being said or done. It's just, we all actually speak different languages. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like be easy on your wives, guys. Like this stuff is not made for women to understand it at all. It's not because anyone is trying to exclude women. I think that's the really important nuance to this. I think it's on women to figure this out.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
thank you for your service.
I don't know what that looks like. I really don't know what that looks like, but I definitely don't want to lead the charge. I also think, and you know, I talked to a couple of people about this, and one person was like, you know, I really think you could go far with this if you really put your all into this. And I said, the problem is that this works with me and Ian because I don't go and learn Bitcoin myself. It removes the whole like, authenticity of that. And the whole point is that, like, Ian is teaching me stuff. And I said, and ultimately, like, I am not that curious about the technical side of things. And so I don't ever want to go learn those things. And I think that's going to be a lot of people. That brings me to, like, just generally talking about the Bitcoin culture that I've seen online. It's a little too exclusive in terms of, like, how the inside jokes are and how everyone talks to each other.
It's a small group.
Yeah, it's a small. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's a small group that you can either join the group that exists, or you could try to create your own new group. But
I don't know. Yeah.
This is like the social media problem until Noster, right? So, oh, everyone's on Facebook. Oh, now we got to run to the new thing. Everyone's on, well, whatever the new thing is after Facebook. The whole problem with getting a new network started is always that you got to get people to leave the other one. And then Noster comes along and says, fundamentally, like, going forward, that should never happen again. So now within that big thing called Facebook, go find your group.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't switch. You don't go create a new Bitcoin culture world. You're still Bitcoiners, but you're the, you know, the sensitive Bitcoiners, right? And then you got, like, the philosopher Bitcoiners, and then you got, like, the financial Bitcoiners, and then you got, like, the insert whatever.
Well, I wouldn't even categorize it that way. I just think it's, like, how into it you are. And it's, I think that's the problem. And it goes back to the title of our podcast. Like, it needs to be okay to just be flirting with Bitcoin. It needs to be okay to not know everything and not understand everything and not be a maximalist. Like, that needs to be okay. And there needs to be a place where people can come and be that, and it not be aggressive or snarky or, you know, and that's not a comfortable place to be when you're strangers, but I think it's a comfortable place that you have to be when you're married.
Well, what I would say is that if you go into the Bitcoin space on Twitter, yes, that is the case, because there's a dominant group on Twitter and there's an algorithm that's, like, pumping whoever's getting the most traction. And
so much negativity and snark.
On Twitter, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, mm-hmm. right? That's why I think Noster is kind of the place to be for new Bitcoiners, actually, because on Noster, there's no algorithm,
mm-hmm.
and what you see is solely dependent on who you choose to follow.
Yeah.
So if you choose to follow the people that are producing that stuff, you're going to see it. But if you don't choose to follow those people and you follow, let's just say, our podcast, well, our podcast itself doesn't really push out any of that stuff, right? And then me personally, like, I don't really retweet a lot of that stuff. So, like, if you're just following me, you're going to see podcast content and some stuff that I might have shared with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so because there's no algorithm, it's easier to, like, enter the Bitcoin culture, I feel like, on Noster than Twitter.
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
And there's, I mean, not going to say more women, but it's like, it's possible to find the softer side of Bitcoin on Noster.
Come see the softer side of Bitcoin.
Yeah, you're dating yourself by knowing that song.
You're dating me. Every day we're married.
Got him. Hey, gang. It's Ian. Let's chat for a second. Bitcoiner or not, I know we're all feeling anxious to save more money lately. But do you want to know why you're feeling that way? It's because you're still thinking in fiat. Seeing the price of everything go up in your local currency, that's what's driving you crazy. That's where all this anxiety is coming from. Meanwhile, the reality is everything is actually getting cheaper on Bitcoin Island. And you might ask yourself, how do I get to Bitcoin Island? Simple. Bitcoin Island is just a state of mind, and you need to train your brain to think in Bitcoin. Your first training exercise is to set a Bitcoin goal using the Satoshi Savings Calculator made by yours truly. And your goal should be to always have more Bitcoin today than you did yesterday. It's literally that simple. This way, the amount of Bitcoin you have only goes up. And once you start to think in Bitcoin, over time, everything around you becomes cheaper. You'll be way more confident about the future. No more anxiety. Look, we don't need to overcomplicate this. You're still early, but you gotta be strategic. And you gotta unlearn everything they taught you about money. So go to flirtingwithbitcoin.com and train your brain to think in Bitcoin with the Satoshi Savings Calculator.
Ian Reese, are you ready to play Satoshi for your thoughts?
What do I win?
A kiss.
From who?
From me.
Oh, okay. Just want to understand.
Who else?
Just want to.
Who else?
Keon?
I can't make him kiss you.
Maybe that's the prize.
I know, right? Aw, Keon kisses are the best. Focus. Okay, Satoshi, for your thoughts. You ready?
Sure.
Do you think this series needs another part? Did we finish the conversation or is there more to say?
About
going to a Bitcoin event with your spouse.
I think there's a lot of things that we could talk about. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we should harp on them.
Yeah.
I think what you've said so far has raised a lot of good points. I think these are the things that, you know, your podcast, our podcast kind of will talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, like the other ones don't, no one's talking about this stuff because it's not considered important. Like the mission of Bitcoin is get everyone off of fiat as fast as possible because it's a sinking ship. What you don't like about that culture is that they don't have time for nonsense.
Huh.
Right? Like it's you a think? No, another way to
there's call, a lot of nonsense, that meme stuff.
Right. But the meme.
I love me some memes.
The meme culture, you know, I don't know if you caught this, but like the halving party was thrown by the meme factory.
Yeah, I totally. Okay. No, making memes is hard.
Okay, it's hard.
It's hard.
So my point there is,
I'm telling you, it's part of the party aspect, right? Like literally, they threw the party. But like memes, jokes, those types of things, that's part of the culture.
The memes become super inside and you don't get to be part of the group until you truly understand the meme.
Yeah.
Versus like when I first came to Bitcoin and I saw the memes, I didn't really get most of them. Mm-hmm. But I knew that there was something there and some of them would click more than others and some of them would make me laugh. And now they all make me laugh. You have to understand the memes. And so because of this mission statement of like getting everyone off of
this
fiat.
This is very like Yoda, the Bitcoin Yoda is like, you have to understand the
memes. Understand the memes you must.
There you go.
Before you can become a Jedi. And this is the thing, right? It's like there's a lot of, and I hate bringing this up a lot, but like there's a lot of these like either real religion, whether you call religion real, or these faux religions like the Jedi, right? It's still this cult, it's still this idea of like either you understand it or you don't. And so what you see on Twitter is people trying to give you as much hard data as it will take to get it through your head that like they are robbing us blind.
Yeah, but that doesn't work.
It doesn't work. But that's what worked until now.
No, it works for some people.
But
it works for some people.
My point is that it's worked until now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's gotten the maximum.
Yeah.
It's saturated with who you're going to get with that type of message. And then Madana goes to a party, sees all these things and is like, oh yeah, but like if you just did it a little differently, you could get like this whole other group.
Yeah.
Well, now the conversation becomes like, do you want to change the message to appeal to more people? Or the toxicity part goes, we're not changing the message. You can do whatever you want to do, Madana, but this is what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's how they're reacting. You know, I think it's really interesting because if we were to change the message, a lot of people right now are talking about how it's impossible to buy a house.
I'm not saying us change the message or me change the message. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the people that are doing that.
Yes, I want to make a pitch to them. A lot of people are complaining about, oh, I can't save up enough to buy a house. And I think, you know, and Ian's been giving this example too, but I think like going to these pain points and where people are just complaining about everyday things and walking them into Bitcoin from there on the internet. I specifically want to talk about the internet. I think that's the problem. I see so many posts on social media where people are complaining about the problems that Bitcoin solves. And I never see Bitcoiners stitch them, repost them, answer, like comment about it. Like I never see engagement with just people complaining about the regular problems of money.
Do you think you're possibly seeing them, but the Bitcoiners aren't?
I don't know.
I'm just saying because
you're the only Bitcoiner I knew until like a week ago.
The point that I'm getting at is that that's the Twitter problem.
Yeah.
That's the social media algorithm problem is that everyone's already been
posts.
Everyone's been siloed into their own echo chambers. And so there's the group of people that are complaining about the problems for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a group of people screaming the solution. Sure.
Yeah.
And they're not seeing each other's
stuff.
They're
not at all.
And so you and me, like just we're technically on two different sides of the internet
mm-hmm.
and we kind of share things with one another. Right. Fundamentally, the algorithms have separated those people. Whereas on Nostr, there's no algorithm to separate you. So again, I think you know, your contribution is more in the line of like, you can literally do that. Like you can take those two sides of what you see and stitch it together, right? And that can be your content. You're marketing to the people on one side, not the Bitcoiners, right? And my theory here is that the Bitcoiners don't see that stuff, right? The other side of it is at my side, you know, the other side is my side, which is, oh, by the way, if you're a new Bitcoiner, there's also some other new tech you should pick up because it will make your getting hooked into the Bitcoin network a lot easier than trying to approach it through the Twitter angle. Because yeah. You will get bombarded on Twitter. And, you know, if you can't handle that level of toxicity, yes, it's very off-putting. Or you can come to Noster and, you know, you see, you know, pictures of like food, but it's in the shape of a Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's very right? cute.
Very safe, very like tame, but you're like, okay, like people are okay. Like what's going on here? But every once in a while, that person that's showing that picture of the food, they're also going to feed you some information.
Something very intellectual. Right. Yeah. And I think for me, it's a little frustrating because I'm trying to be more involved with our social media because I realized that while we were at that event and meeting people, I didn't really have a way to tell someone how to connect with me, or I didn't want to really give anyone a social media handle because social media stresses me out. Like as a personal user, I don't want to feel responsible for responding to someone. And I was meeting people and I was like, ugh, like what social media account should I give and tell people that I'll respond to this on? Eventually, by the last night of the party, I decided I was going to run the Flirting with Bitcoin Twitter handle because so many people there, like, we're not on Noster, and like, I definitely don't want to use Instagram because Instagram sucks. So I said, you know what? Fine. I've never used Twitter before. I'll just use our Flirting with Bitcoin account. So I've been like trying to use that. I then made a couple of TikToks on our account. I've been posting on Instagram. I've been posting a lot on Noster on my own account. Please check those out. Give me some feedback on how it's going for sure. I'm trying to just like figure out things to make that can help, you know, like promote the cause. But one of the things is that like I don't want us to show our faces. Ian and I like just don't want to make this about us. And it's just important to us for some level of privacy, right? It would be so easy to do like face video content, but because I can't do those things, anything else we make, it just requires a lot of production, a lot of work when we're posting it. But again, it's just important to me that we don't show our faces because people are creepy on the internet. I just wonder why there aren't other people reaching out to the posts that I see. But yeah, like you said, they just like not at all be exposed to that part of the internet. Go on single mom TikTok. Go explain to single moms what Bitcoin is. It would save their lives.
That is probably the best idea out of this podcast so far.
I mean, like, this is what I see posts all the time about people being like, how do you survive? How do you afford your groceries? How do you do this? How do you do that? And then, like taxes, it's tax month, right? Like, all of those things. But also, like, I don't have the time. But if you're a full-time content creator, I really encourage you to, like, go to that part of the internet because these people are really smart. They're just busy and tired. And, like, yeah, you have to speak in their language.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I think that's a great idea, again. If you don't have the time, which I know you don't, somebody just like my nightclub idea, we'll eventually do it.
We're just, you know, we're ideas people. We don't really do anything. It's a
open
very
source
executive
business ideas.
This is very executive C-suite level guidance we're giving you guys. But yeah, I'm really glad that you got some great perspective last week about what a great wife I am.
There was one thing that someone said that I did want to bring up, and maybe this is what we could talk about next. One of the guys that I was talking to said, coming to the event made him less confident in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And he said it and it like took me back for a second. I had been talking to him for a while. So I kind of put together what I knew about him. And I was like, well, yeah, I can kind of see where you're coming from because you haven't lived long enough to experience the problem like internally. You just see it as like, yeah, I think these problems exist. People tell me they exist. And so this is the solution to the problem that I technically see but haven't lived versus someone in their 40s who's like lived this problem for their at least the last 20 years of their life or longer is like, oh no, I finally found the solution to my problems. I'm out. We sound crazy because we sound so convicted. This may not even work, but this is the first thing that's ever come up that might work. And I think that level of like, to someone who's like in their early 20s is like, okay, man, but like, what about the next thing? And you're like, no, buddy. There's been tons of next things. There's never It's never been this.
It's never been this. And it's the halving, baby.
And nothing has ever had the halving.
Exactly. I'm so excited. If you're listening to this right now, it is the halving. So I hope you enjoyed spending an hour of your halving day with us. And if you're listening to this after the halving, like, good on you. Keep celebrating. Keep the party going all year long.
So I do have one question for you, though, Ben. Mm-hmm. What do you think an appropriate halving day gift is? Do you give someone half of something? I don't even mean that as a joke. Like, is that like what? Like, I'm in Bitcoin and I don't know. Like, is it a true holiday? Do you give gifts on it? And if so, are they half of something? Like, do you give someone half a pizza?
So it's difficult because you almost think that like that's the day that you don't spend any money and stack. So you eat half of what you normally do.
I mean, you could do that also, but I'm thinking like, oh, it's halving day, happy halving day, or, you know, merry halving day. Okay, I think it's happy halving day or whatever. But like,
halving Mubarak.
I don't know if it's a gift giving holiday.
I don't think it is.
I think it should be.
It's a gift to yourself.
I think it should be. But here's why.
Are you saying you want a gift?
No.
It sounds like you do.
I don't want a gift, but I think it should be a gift giving holiday. Mm-hmm. Because if you've been in Bitcoin for 4 years, you could afford to give a gift. Okay. Like, that's it.
Oh, like once every 4 years, spend your Bitcoin.
I'm not even saying spend your Bitcoin.
Only once.
Maybe you could spend it out of your stack or whatever. But all I'm saying is that if you've been in Bitcoin for the last 4 years, since the last halving, you should be able to afford to give one person a gift.
Do you count yourself as a 4-year-er?
Yeah.
So are you saying you want a gift?
No. In that scenario,
what if we get that couch? Ian's eyeing a couch.
In that scenario, I would be giving a gift.
Oh, you're giving me
the
couch.
So you want me to give you the couch?
It sounds like you want to give me the couch.
I mean, I don't know what couch we're talking about.
Just a new couch. We need a new couch.
And I think that couches are a little out of the pale of what I'm saying about gifts.
You're talking about big gifts? No, bigger?
Couches are big gifts.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Okay, I'm saying smaller in size and price.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Than a couch.
Okay.
Right? Like, I'm saying like...
gold necklace.
That's probably the same price as a couch these days.
Right, but that's a better asset.
I mean, if you give someone a gold necklace, you convert
based on the Satoshi price index.
So you're telling me that you're converting Bitcoin into gold.
Yeah. That's literally what buying gold is. Well, no, you're also paying for the design. That's not true.
I'm rambling, but like, I do think that it's a gift giving holiday because if you've been in it for 4 years, even if it was $1 a day or $1 a week or whatever interval, you should be able to give
treat
a gift
yourself.
To someone.
To someone.
To yourself,
yeah, yeah.
But to someone. That's all. What it is, how much, I think that's up for debate. You know, if you're out looking at brand new cars, like I don't think you should be converting Bitcoin into cars. But if you want to convert Bitcoin into a gold piece of jewelry for someone that you love, like it's gold. So it's, you know, it's not going to appreciate
right.
as much as
wearing
Bitcoin.
Wearing you down, baby. Getting that gold necklace.
But like a
it's
couch
like, I don't need
or
any jewelry,
a car
babe.
Just or keep, whatever. Like,
just keep stacking. That's all you got to do. That's what you taught me.
I know. And that's all I'm saying is like maybe it's a $5 gift. I'm just saying it's got to be there's
a ceremonial aspect
to
it. Okay.
Like,
says the man who doesn't celebrate his birthday.
Based on the rules I just said.
The halving is more important than your birth.
The fact that you are alive for 4 years more does not intrinsically mean that you can afford to give someone a gift.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
Actually, these days, the older you are, the less well off you are.
Sure, but that's the only difference where I would say the birthday is different from the,
fair enough.
From the halving.
Baby, let's close this episode out. One more time. You're welcome for being such a great wife.
If that's what you took away from that, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening to the show.
Now, let's get you set up on Fountain so you can start earning some money simply by listening to podcasts.
Go to fountain.fm to download the app.
Once your app is set up, search for Flirting with Bitcoin and hit follow.
Listen to our show and episodes from your other favorite podcasts to earn your first Satoshis, which are fractions of a Bitcoin.
Make sure to keep an eye out for our promoted episodes.
You can earn up to 100 Satoshis just for listening.
Pretty cool, huh?
You can use those sats you've earned to send us a boost, like a little payment with a message.
And I swear, we try to respond to everyone.
Every episode, we shout out the top boosters.
To support us or other podcasters with more sats, you can top up your Fountain wallet with a bank card or Lightning transfer from apps like Strike or Cash App.
The easiest way to learn is to get started.
Now you're all set up for podcasting 2.0.